If someone purposely delayed doing the work for Chalamoid and he then died, are the items usher to benefit for his children as well? Because all the while a person makes a mum on a bachar becomes usher for his children as well, that's because he's making a mum on a bachar which is an isadir aisa. Although when a person sells his Jewish slave to a goy, the rabbanim penalizes this person and his children also, that the slave goes out free, that may be because the slave is prevented from doing mitzvahs every single day. However, in our case, do we say that the penalty was on the person and since he's no longer here, we don't have to penalize the assets, or do we say no, the penalty was on the assets, the assets are still here, so it's also for everybody? So Rav Zeir said, we see from a mission regarding work done on Shemitah, the type of work that which is only also the Rabbanon, that the Rabbanon penalized the person and said that he may not plant his field the following year. Rabbi Yosef Bechanina said that if the person died, his children may plant the field. We see that although the violator is penalized, his children are not. The same would be true in our case. Abaye said, we see this concept regarding one who damaged another in an unrecognizable way, meaning, let's say, he made another's food tamei, hezek shenir nikir. In such a case, the Rabbanon only penalized him that he has to pay for the damage, but not his children. Zak, the Mishnah, one may not buy houses, slaves, or animals on Chalamoid unless they're needed for Yom Tov, or unless the seller of these items needs to sell them in order to have money for food for Yom Tov. Fekmar Rabba asked Rav Nachman, you're allowed to hire workers in Chalamoid so as to provide him with money for Yom Tov, the worker who needs money for Yom Tov. Rav Nachman said, the words in our Mishnah, they say, for a seller who has nothing to eat, who has nothing to eat, l'chari is extra, and they come to include allowing the hire of a person who is in this situation as well. Rava said, no, Rai, because those words of the Mishnah may simply be explaining the reason for allowing the purchase from a desperate buyer and are not coming to teach anything additional. Abaye said, a Braisa says that we may write a loan document in Chalamoid if the lender doesn't trust the borrower or if he does not have anything to eat. Those last words must be referring to the cipher and teach that you're allowed to hire a cipher to write a document even if it's really not needed just so you can provide him with money for Yom Tov. Rav Sheshet says the Mishnah allows the performance of certain malachas, a tailor, a barber, a launderer on Erev Pesach, since there are circumstances when this type of work is allowed to be done even on Chalamoid. Now, if any work may be done on Chalamoid where the worker needs the money for food, then all work should be allowed to be done on Erev Pesach, since there are circumstances when all types of work are allowed on Chalamoid. Papa disagreed. Yes, he said, based on this line of thinking that anything permitted in Chalamoid is permitted Erev Pesach, it should be mutter to build an Erev Pesach, because it's mutter to demolish and build a wall that's at risk of falling and poses a danger in Chalamoid. Ravina asked, based on the above, a cipher should be allowed to work on Erev Pesach, because you're allowed to write documents of Kedushin and Gittin and receipts on Chalamoid as well. Ravashi therefore explained that the case of Chalamoid and Erev Pesach are very different and can't be compared. Work on Chalamoid is also so as not to disturb Simchas Yom Tov, but the Rabbanon allowed work to prevent a loss. Work on Erev Pesach is permitted to allow for the preparation of Yom Tov. Therefore, only those few kinds of work are allowed. Zok, the Mishnah, one may not move items from a house in one chotzer to a house in another chotzer on Chalamoid. However, one may move items to his chotzer. Zok, the Mishnah, one may not bring items from the house of a skilled person he had given something to repair, and the item is not needed for Yom Tov, so he's not allowed to bring it over on Chalamoid. However, if he's concerned that the item may be stolen, he may move it to another chotzer. For the Gemara, the Mishnah seems to say that items may be moved to one's chotzer even if they're being brought from another chotzer. However, earlier in the Mishnah it seemed to say that such movement would be usher. So Abaye said the latter part of the Mishnah means to allow moving items to another house within the same chotzer. The Mishnah said the Emevian Kalim Besa Uman. A Papa said Rava would test us by asking us from another Mishnah which says that one may bring items from the house of a skilled person even if it's not needed for Yom Tov. So we would answer that our Mishnah is discussing Chalamoid. The other Mishnah is discussing Erev Pesach. We can also answer that the other Mishnah is also discussing Chalamoid. The difference is that our Mishnah is discussing where he trusts a skilled person and can leave the items by him. The other Mishnah is discussing where he doesn't trust him and therefore he needs to get the items away from him to prevent a loss. There's a Braisa that specifically allows taking the items to his house when he doesn't trust a skilled person. So it's a Raya to this differentiation. Our Mishnah, which doesn't allow the taking from the skilled person, will surely not allow bringing to the skilled person a Chalamoid. The other Mishnah allows even taking the items to the skilled person. That can't be answered by saying that he doesn't trust the skilled person, that answer is not Shaykh there. Mar says we must therefore say that the other Mishnah is discussing Erev Pesach, not Chalamoid, like we answered previously. Zok, the Mishnah, one may take straw and cover figs that were left out to dry in Chalamoid, because if they get wet, they get ruined. Rehuda says even a thick layer may be put out. Sellers of fruit, clothing, and kalim may sell in private to meet Yom Tov needs. The trappers, the grain crushers, and the bean crushers may do their work in private for the Yom Tov needs. Rabbi Yossi says they were machmer on themselves. Zok, the Mishnah, there's machloket between Rechiba, Abba, and Arbasi, each of them saying in the name of Chizki and Rabbi Yochanan. One said that mechapin means a thin cover may be put on top of the figs, and me'abin means a thick cover may be put on. The other says that mechapin means a thick or a thin cover, and me'abin means that the figs may even be gathered into a pile to be more easily covered. A Braisa says like the second view. Mishnah said, Meicher Peis, Ksus, Fikelim, Meichim, Betzinah, Vechulum. Shvekma, was the chumra that they accepted upon themselves that they should not work at all, or was it the chumra was that they should work and only sell in private? So Abraisa says there are three groups of workers who should work in private. And Abraisa says that some of these workers were machmer and did not work at all. We see that the chumra is that they did not sell at all. The Mara says the Abraisa mentioned people who crush grains and gave them names of certain crushed grains. Abai explained chilka, which is one of them, is wheat which is split in half. Targis is when it's split into three, a wheat, and tisni is when a piece of wheat is split into four, a kernel of wheat. Rav Dimi said that chilka is complete spelt, not wheat at all. Jack Mar Mishnah says that chilka is always mekabel tumah. Now, according to Abai, this makes sense because before it's split, it has to be soaked, which makes it mukshel kabel tumah. However, according to Rav Dimi, it's not why is it necessarily mekabel tumah. That's just a whole piece of spelt. It doesn't have to be with mukshel kabel tumah. Mar says the Mishnah is discussing spelt without its shell. It only could have been removed after being soaked. According to Rav Dimi, the word chilka derives from the fact that the shell was removed. Jack Mar Abai says that one who promised not to eat grain is allowed to eat chilka. Now, if chilka is crushed wheat, it's understandably why it's not considered to be grain anymore because it loses its status when it's crushed. However, if chilka is simply a full spelt, why is a person allowed to eat it? Mar says it remains a kasha. Rav Huna allowed spice merchants to sell their spice in a normal way in Chol HaMoed. If Kahane asked, Rabbi says, fruit sellers may only sell in a normal manner in Chol HaMoed before Shmini Atzeres. This means that any other time it has to be done in an abnormal manner. And for the Gemara, fruit may be sold fruits must be sold in other than the normal manner. However, spices, which don't last long, and therefore when you're buying in Chol HaMoed, it's obviously being bought for this particular Yom Tov. You don't have to sell it in a different way. You can sell it in a normal manner because everyone knows that you're buying it for this Yom Tov. Whereas fruit, people may think that you're buying it now to put it away for after Yom Tov.